Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave the magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I certainly trust that you all had a very good week and you're as excited tonight as I am about tonight's broadcast. This show is a continuation from the show that we had a couple of weeks ago, and it promises to be a great one. I must say that we are experiencing a little technical difficulty once again. I don't know what's going on, but we've been trying for the last 45 minutes to get into the studio, and it's not cooperating with us for some reason or other. So we may have to make some alterations this evening, but we will do the very best that we can to try and get into the studio and bring you all the regular broadcast that we normally bring you. So we're going to ask that you bear with us, and welcome to the show this evening. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You can also tune in at drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com. Either one of those will get you into the studio, so you have both of those ways to get in, drjessewalker.com or drjessewalkerinc.com. So check out either one of those, and one of those should get you into it. All right. Last week we had a fantastic show. I really enjoyed last week's broadcast. It was very good. We got an opportunity to talk with so many people about last week's topic. So tonight we're going to be bringing in different people who have an interest in the broadcast for this evening, and as well as people who have expressed their concerns about topics, you know, current topics and current issues. All right, we're into the studio on one end. We are into the studio. We are grateful for that. We were able to get in on our backup system. You know, in life it requires that you do have a backup, and I'm grateful for that. Miss Blake is going to be joining us a few minutes late this evening. She's traveling, and so we're waiting for her to get to a point where she can call in so we can get her into the studio. Once again, you're listening live to Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You can tune in at 347-857-1769, and, of course, press 1 if you want to speak to the host. Press 1 if you want to speak to the host, and you can also press, I think it's only 1. Okay, yeah, they're letting me know it's only 1. All right, you can go to my website. You can also look at my products. I have several products out there. I do life coaching services, Christian counseling services. I have a book out, After the Passion, Now What, and several other things that we do out there, and you can certainly go to the website. If you have a show topic in mind that you would love for us to do, by all means, please let us know. We will be more than happy to do that topic for you. If there's something that you thinking about that's on your heart, please send us an email at online@drjessewalker.com. We will give consideration to doing that show topic for you as well. We're going to go to the story in about 3 minutes. So please, whatever you do, stand by, because you will definitely want to tune in to the story just in the next couple of minutes. let me tell you what basically the show is all about. For those of you all that just may be joining us for the first time, this show is always about relationships. We talk about all different types of relationships, relationships that deal with whether it's marriage, family, the relationship, it deals with divorce, siblings, blended families. This is not a religious show, but we certainly deal with issues. People bring out their religious concerns over the air. The show is all about coworkers, siblings, anything to do with a relationship. This show is about that. So I'm going to let you speak with someone momentarily that has been someone who has benefited from being listening to this show. And let's bring this young lady in a few minutes. We'll bring someone in and let them tell you a little bit about the Dr. Jesse Walker Show and what she may have felt some benefits from listening to this show, tuning in and the various topics over the years. So this is just maybe one person's perspective, what it entails when it comes to relationships and what are some of the benefits she's gotten from listening to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, some of the benefits. All right, we're going to bring her in. We're going to introduce her. Yes, this is one of our callers that's going to be calling in, and we will zoom her into the studio over the next few minutes, and she'll be tuning in with us. Now, once again, I do life coaching services, Christian counseling, anything that has a Christ base to it, we do that. You can call my office at 954-367-6766, 954-367-6666. 6766, yes. You can tune in at any point in time. Call us if you have a concern or anything along those lines. All right, we're going to get ready for the story, but first let's bring her in so that she can present her concerns and her what it is that she wants to talk about. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines right now. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. We're going to go to 256-970. She's out of Alaska, but we're going to talk to her now. Who do we have on the line with us this evening, and welcome?
Hi, this is Jess.
I'm sorry, what's your first name again?
Jess.
Jess, okay. Thank you, Jess, for joining us. Jess, just tell us, what are some of the benefits you've gotten from listening to this relationship show? I mean, has it helped you in your marriage or your relationship or with your family? Just tell us some of the benefits that you've gotten from being a part of this show. Or listening to the show, I should say.
Okay, well, some of the benefits are it's very refreshing to hear some of the life scenarios and situations that people are going through because you never know what someone's going through. And so I'm able to take some of the tools that you give and advice that you give to some of your listeners, and I'm able to apply some of those concepts or tools to my own life. It's been one of those things where people are able to connect in certain ways, and I've learned from the show in particular that relationships are extremely important. And whether it's a relationship with my spouse or with my children or a coworker or my boss, communication is a huge factor, and I know you have a series that you do on effective communication.
Right.
So it's just one of those things that I believe everyone can benefit from just by listening in every week.
Okay, well, Jess, I appreciate that. And I just want to ask you maybe two or three questions here. You mentioned you've been able to apply some of these strategies or tools that you've heard over the air. Give me an example. I mean, I know that we've done shows, yes, on effective communication and so forth and so on. What are some of the tools that you may have taken from even effective communication or another one that you've been able to apply and give us a kind of scenario with your family, if you don't mind sharing?
So you've discussed before about decisions and how if a person does not make a decision, whether it's a good one or a bad one, a decision will be made either way. So in life, we are faced with making decisions every day, whether it's deciding what to wear in the morning on your way to work, deciding which route you want to drive to work, deciding, should I pick this person as my mate in life? We make decisions every day. Some are big, some are small. But either way, there are decisions that we have to make every day. And there are consequences, good ones and bad ones. And it's just very important for people to understand that decision-making is one of the biggest things in life that we have to tackle every single day.
Okay, when it comes to decision-making, and let's sort of put that with relationship issues now. When it comes to decision-making, let's say a couple's been dating for 2 years. They're in their early 20s, both have finished college. And just a scenario here, the young lady's ready to get married and the man is prolonging this. They've been together a couple of years. Let me ask you, Jess, do you think in a situation like that, what have you heard over the airwaves that, I mean, that something that I may have said or one of my personnel from the show have said in terms of whether that person should wait or not wait?
You can't force someone to do something that they don't want to do. And at the same time, you don't want to pressure someone into something that they're not ready for. So I've heard you give advice to people before about, you know, take your time, make sure that this person is the right person, because choosing that life mate is the biggest decision a person will ever make in their life. If you choose the wrong one, you could be full of pain and suffering. But if you choose the right one, you know, you'll have a lifelong of happiness. So I guess in relation to relationships and decision making, choosing a spouse or a life mate is the biggest decision a person will ever make in their lives.
And that is exactly what I cover over this show, that that mate, that companion that you choose to be your life mate is, in fact, the biggest decision that you will make in life. And in a case where I presented earlier with the scenario, if the young lady is out there and she's ready to get married, or the man for that case, and someone is holding you on and you're ready to get married and they're not, for 2 years, and there's nothing else to wait for, if the person feels, well, they're still waiting to see if you're the right one, I say cut ties with that person, because, I mean, if you're still waiting, you're already in a relationship, and the person is still waiting for you or waiting for some reason or delaying getting married, what's the delay? What's the reason behind the delay? And I agree, Jess, I have said, you've heard me say, don't try to force somebody into something that they're not ready for. But at the same time, don't put your life on hold for someone either. I'm a strong believer in that. I believe that the institution of marriage is of God, but I do not believe that every marriage is God-oriented. I don't believe that under any circumstances, that every marriage is God-oriented. So we have to keep that in mind. Now, you mentioned decisions. You mentioned decisions, and I want to stay with that just for a second, just before we go to the story. And I want to say, with the decisions, if you don't, if you make the wrong decision, and you heard me talk about consequences, let's just stay with this just for a second before I go to the story. That person chooses to try to pressure someone into saying, I'm going to break up with you if you don't marry me. Jess, let me ask you, how do you think a scenario like that might turn out?
So someone's going to break up, one party is going to break up with the other party So party A will break up with party B if party A doesn't marry party B?
Right.
Did I get that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Let them go. Let them go.
Okay. And I agree with that.
Let them go.
I agree with that, because that tactic will only, it's almost like an ultimatum that you're giving someone that either you marry me or not. And that doesn't work. That doesn't work, because when you're trying to pressure someone to come on into the relationship and you're doing it that way, that is not a good thing, and that can come back to backfire on you. Just, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. We're going to get ready to go to the story. So we give the story every week, and as you know, and I'd like you to chime in with us if you have the time as you listen to tonight's story. All right, are you ready for that, Jess?
Yes.
All right. Now, once again, I'll share with you all that this story is going to be a repeat of a story that we did a few weeks ago. This story is a repeat of the story that we did a couple of weeks ago because we're bringing you part two. And tonight's topic, why do some women always appear to be mad in their relationships? Why do some women always appear to be mad in their relationships? All right, Walter and Valerie, these are our characters. Walter and Valerie, before Walter married Valerie for several months, his mother gave him a very long talk about women on specific issues that relate to their forever-changing attitudes, behaviors, and growing pains. Now, Walter was 29 when he and Valerie married, and today still remembers the months of talks he had with his mother, and now is beginning to understand a great deal of the things she told him that women usually have in common. Now, one of those things she impressed upon his heart was the notion that men are likely to be blamed for most things when a relationship is going wrong or bad, even when it is not always their fault. She also shared with him that women, seldom see their flaws or admit to placing any blame on themselves and are not likely to be the first to apologize. Instead, a woman is more likely to be mad or angry, and this could last for days without the man having a real clue as to the matter that may have caused the problem in the first place. Her long face will persist and make the home very uncomfortable, even during times when the man has apologized. Now, the countless hours Walter spent in debates with his mother over these issues, thinking that she could be wrong, he has now concluded in his 3 years of marriage, coupled with his years of dating, that his mother was absolutely right on point when it came to women. He simply cannot understand why his mother, at her age, he can't understand why his wife, at her age of 28, always seems to be in a bad mood. He realizes that part of his primary words to her have been in question form. Honey, what's wrong now? Only to get a common response of nothing. Nothing's wrong, which he now knows that when she says that, that means that everything is wrong, and it's usually his fault. At least that's how Valerie feels. You know, and now he feels that life is too short to constantly entertain her days with long faces and equally tired of the daunting task of wondering which of the four unpardonable sins he has committed with her to include. These are the four that most men probably feel that they have committed somewhere along the way and they don't fully understand. And this is what Walter is dealing with. This is what he feels he's dealing with. And those four entail, here we go. Number one, what did I do? Number two, what didn't I do? Number three, what did I say? And number four, what didn't I say? Contrary to what his mother says, he feels there are women out there that are the exception and not the rule. He now wants out of the marriage to find a woman that can contribute to the positive energy in their lives. All right, Jess, let's go back to you. Are you still with us, Jess?
I am here. I'm here.
Okay, thank you for standing by. Tell me, let's just start off first by asking the question, why is it that some women appear to always be mad in their relationships?
Maybe because they're not getting the things that they want out of a relationship.
Okay. You mean from their significant other?
Yes.
All right, so is that a reason? Would you say that that's a reason that they've got to maintain their frustration in a relationship?
There's always a reason why someone could be mad in a relationship, but there are a lot of other factors that could be taken into consideration in a situation like that. One example is they may not be getting the things that they want out of the relationship, but at the same time, they may not feel that they are where they should be at this stage in their relationship. Maybe they feel like they work harder than the other person in the relationship. I mean, it could be a number of things. And right. So any person can have a number of reasons as to why they are so upset. I couldn't necessarily pinpoint, you know, I mean, it could be anything.
Right. It could be. But, you know, life, like Walter was saying in the relationship, life is too short. And the fact of the matter is, you know, if he were in counseling with me, going through some sessions, I would tell him that if he's having to deal with this in his early years of marriage, I would clearly tell Walter it's time to revisit that relationship and probably let her go. I mean, I'm not your traditional guy that does this coaching session or the Christian counseling. I believe life is too short, and I believe that people should be happy. And I know a lot of your therapists will spend time taking your money. That's not all, but a great number of them perhaps wanting you to come for these repeated sessions and so forth and so on. And I'll tell you, though, I'm not one of those guys, because I will give it to you, you know, point blank. Don't waste your time. Children are no reason to stay together, because they grow up and they leave. You know, it's you and that person for the rest of your life. And I'm telling you, it's time to get out. Just, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. We're going to go to the phone lines again. We're going to go to 407-202. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Can you help us out with this one tonight? Why do some women always appear to be mad in relationships?
Hello, Dr. Walker. This is Jay. Jess.
Hi,
Jay. Nice to talk to you all this evening.
Thank you. Nice to have you on the air with us this evening. Thank you for joining us.
Awesome.
Jay, what do you think?
Dr. Walker, I have to say, listening to your story, it gave me an absolute headache. Right now, I think I have a migraine growing, because I feel the young man's pain. Nobody wants to be around a Debbie Downer all the time. So I would tell this young man, hey, if you've tried counseling a few times and it's not worked, hey, 3 years turns to four, and before you know it's 10 and 15, and then you're stuck like Chuck. So he better run.
Yeah. Yeah, you could be stuck like Chuck, but life is short. And, I mean, if you're waiting, to me, here's my rule of thumb. If you're in a relationship, and those of you all that are listening out there, this becomes very important. I mean, this is me now, and I'm not asking anyone to adopt to what I'm saying. This is just my humble opinion. If you're in a relationship for approaching 3 years, and that relationship is going through the same repeated problems over and over again, then you know what? If it's 3 years, it's going to be 30 years, and that's where the problems persist. If it's 3 years, it's going to be 30 years. And I'm telling you, that can be a problem. That can be a serious problem. So I wouldn't bank on staying with anybody that long. You know, I'd say get out. Yes.
Dr. Walker, your co-host, Jess, did mention that a number of reasons why the young lady may be having the long face in the marriage, and she said that maybe she's not getting what she's expecting out of the relationship, maybe she's not getting the help that she feels that she deserves at home, or maybe she's just, you know, overwhelmed, overworked in the relationship. What if those things happen to be true and the young man isn't helping? Because we're listening from his point of view, but we also have to look at it from the other side. So what if it's that he's not actually doing his part completely as to why she always has the long face, or is that not the case here?
Well, you know what? It can vary. If it's not the case, I think that therapy may have brought that out. And I think that what they need to do, and I'm pretty sure that they've gone through therapy sessions, it needs to come out. if he's not doing that, then he needs to do that. But then there are going to be four common things that generally happen that most men will experience. He's going to be saying, either, you know, honey, what did I do? What didn't I do? What did I say or what didn't I say? It's going to be something along those lines. And, you know, I'm a man, and, I mean, I do the coaching and the whole nine yards of the show and different things. And then I would say, you know what? If a man has got to go through that for 3 years, and I know this might sound tough, then I would say to him, you know, let it go. There's enough. I mean, this might be real hard with me saying that with women and so forth, and I know that I should be objective in what I'm saying, but I say this here, whether it's reversed, if the woman is not happy, don't stay in that relationship. Don't stay in there, because if you stay in that relationship for 3 years, those, and it's not changing, and it's not showing any signs of changing, those 3 years are going to become 10 years. And they just are. Those years go by so fast, and you will be frustrated. You know, if you're going through the same thing over and over again, and you're expecting a different result, and some of you all will come on here and say, well, you've been praying for years. I mean, who in the world, I mean, what does that get you? And I'm not saying anything against God. I'm not. But God's given you free will. You're praying for years, you know, 10 years, 5 years, 7 years. Okay, that might be all well and good. But you might be wanting a relationship, but the other person may not want the relationship. So now, while you're praying, you think God is going to infringe his will on that other person that doesn't want the relationship, or that the two of you all can't walk together? If that woman, if it's the woman in this situation with Walter, if her face is long all the time, and he's got to go through this day in and day out, Walter, find you another woman. Because there are women out there that are the exception to this and not the rule. His mother tried to tell him, but that doesn't speak the spirit of every woman. It just doesn't. You can find a woman that can enrich you, enhance you, and make you feel like you're the king of the earth. And vice versa. A woman can find a man out there that will make her feel like the king, the queen of the earth. You know, to enhance her, enrich her, life is too short. All right, let me bring my co-host in, Ms. Blake, and we've got Jess with us tonight. And Jay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Anybody else that want to contribute to tonight's topic, by all means. Ms. Blake, thank you for joining us. It's good to have you. Welcome.
Hi, Dr. Walker. Hopefully you're able to hear me pretty well. I'm in another city this evening.
Okay.
Can you hear
me?
Yes,
we can. Yes, we can hear you fine.
Yeah, and I've been listening to the conversation, but I still feel that it's a two-way street. I do agree with you that people shouldn't stay entirely unhappy. But at the same time, you know, both needs need to be met. And I still disagree with his mama. If you think back to that comment that I made before when we talked about this story, I said, you know, this lady may have issues and so has his mom. So, I mean, people don't like you talking about their mother, but sometimes mothers just giving you their bitter perspective on life, too. Because most of the time, if you treat a woman right, she will treat you right in return. And so that's the difference. So I still think that it's not that women are so negative, but it is something that is causing that negativity.
Well, you know, Ms. Blake, you know, you and I, we pull off the punches from the glove from time to time. And I want to throw my keeping it in, keeping it real this time. I used to subscribe to thinking that if you treat a woman right, she will treat you like the king that you're deserving to be. But that's not always the case. I think sometimes when you do treat them a certain way, from a man's perspective, this is mine. I'm not speaking for all men. I think sometimes they take you for granted. I really do. And this is and you're right, it is a two-way street, because I think that happens on the reverse as well. When a woman can really be showing that man all the love and so forth and so on, and the man can be doing the same thing, that woman can take him for granted, and that man can take her for granted. So I do believe that it can go that way. Let's bring Jay in just for a second. Jay, once again, what do you think? I mean, could you be taken for granted, or do you cause a woman to sometimes have that long face?
Ms. Blake, how are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you doing, Jay?
Oh, doing just great. So I'm going to say some things, and I've disagree with your perspective. I more so agree with Dr. Walker here in the sense that from my experience, and I can't extrapolate this to all cases with all men in all relationships, but in my experience, sometimes that nice guy just really does get taken advantage of. The woman sits back, becomes lazy, and instead of treating the man like the king, like he deserves, you know, she continues to be lazy, in my experience, with the women that I've dated. Now, the opposite to that is when I am sometimes rough with a woman that I've dated and, you know, treat them any kind of way, I'm treated better. So I can't explain that.
Well, Jay, I can tell you about that if you don't mind.
Okay.
Because there's a difference between a man having swagger and a man being someone that can that has backbone. You see, the strong, independent woman who will love you right for life needs a man with backbone. And sometimes the guys that are very nice, they're too nice. They don't have any backbone. So there has to be a balance there. I mean, it has to be that sensitivity that you know that he loves and cares about you, but he can also put his foot down when he's ready and won't let you run him over. And so therein lies the problem.
And I completely agree with that, but I think women speak out of both sides of their mouths here because at the same time, they're telling me that I want my man to treat me like the queen that I deserve. No, you don't want that. You want to be treated just like street booty. Sorry.
Well, let me just say this.
Women do.
I don't think that's true, but the thing about it is it's a delicate balance. It's called swagger. And sometimes, again, guys are just, he's so sweet, he's so nice, but he's too sweet and he's too nice. You know, and I have to break that down off the air. because I always say either you got it or you don't. And that's part of the issue is that, and there's somebody for everybody because maybe there's a lady who likes a guy that's like that. But at the same time, there is a balance. Trust me, there really is a balance.
Well, you know, let's put it out there. I know you've mentioned over the air that you have sons. And let me just throw this answer out here, and we're pulling off the punch, the gloves again. And if and I know you're capable of handling yourself, and you know how I go, you and I, we go back and forth. Let me ask you now, with your sons, let's say your son is the nicest, and you know your son, nicest, sweetest guy out there, and he's treating his wife with everything, he's treating her like a queen. And you can clearly see that this woman is taking your son for granted. Now, as a mother, how did you feel about that? That you know your son loves her. She claims to love him, but she's taking him for granted. How do you feel about that? Or how would you feel about that?
Well, hold on. Well, I would say I would talk to him about it, but at the same time, if he's my son, he's going to put his foot down sooner or later and say enough already. And I just want to say, too, that women, you can have a woman in one relationship that's extremely bitter and seems angry, but it's because she's not getting treated well. And you can take that same woman and you treat her right, she will love you like you've never been loved before. So, and it's the same woman. It's just a matter of the companionship. And again, everybody's not meant to be together. But to answer your question, I would tell my son, you know, to speak up, and if it's not changing, then he needs to do something about it. He needs to value himself enough to not continue to tolerate it.
Right, right. And you see, I like what you said. There were two things there. One of the things that you said is that not everybody is meant to be together. You know, that's one of the highlights that people will, and the other part is, and I'm opposing and I'm paraphrasing, sometimes people are not feeling you. You can have that person that's doing everything. You can have them doing, I mean, he's treating her like a queen. She's treating him like a king. But they're really not that into that person because they're not feeling them. They're not really in love with them. Like love was meant to be out there. We're going to go to phone lines in just a second also, and we'll take some of the comments. But I'm telling you, when that person is not feeling you or that woman, and we're staying with the nice topic, why do some women always appear to be mad in their relationship? This is part two. That woman, when she's being treated like a queen, when she's being introduced into a new relationship, things that she's not accustomed to, you know, and vice versa, she's not accustomed to, she can take that man for granted. Because sometimes when you've lived for a long period of time, let's say in your 30s, late 30s, 40s, you tend to gravitate back to that liking, L-A-C-K, environment of what you're accustomed to, because that becomes your comfort zone. So when you're not accustomed to having certain things, having a certain lifestyle or a class within that lifestyle, people can gravitate back to that, and you're not being accustomed to being treated like a queen, because sometimes you just, oh, you're used to that guy, that thug guy, or that this type of guy, that type of guy. You know, so the Jay, let me go to you just for a second. Sometimes, in my experience, I've seen how that good guy does finish last sometimes. And this is not a show where we're bashing women. We're not doing that. So don't get the wrong impression. This can go either way. Nobody should be taken for granted. If you're sitting in a relationship and it's coming up on 3 years and you want something out of a relationship, your significant other doesn't, you better reevaluate that relationship, because those same 3 years are going to turn into 6, 9, 12. And you're going to regret that into the by the 15th, 18th year, because you could have found you someone else that would have made you happier. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Once again, Jay, let's give you an opportunity to respond. Then we're going to go to Jess. We're going to go to Jess, and then we'll go to 917. Go ahead, Jay.
Well, I was sitting here listening to Ms. Blake talk about having nice guys finishing last and having that degree of swagger, and it reminded me of this divorce court episode where a man and a woman were getting a divorce, and the man was saying all of these things that he did for the woman. He cooked for her. He was feeding her 3 o'clock in the morning, big breakfasts, just doing, washing her car, putting gas in it. And the judge asked the woman, well, what's wrong with you? And the woman says, Judge, he was just too nice. Too nice. I need, you know, a man with a little oomph in him. And so I think Ms. Blake has a real point there. You know, a woman doesn't want to necessarily be treated nicely all the time. Got to treat them like street booty.
You know, that's the thing. And it's so unfortunate because, and I agree with Jay, something you said earlier, women do talk from two sides of their mouths. And sometimes men do that, and that's a weak man as far as I'm concerned. But women will talk from two sides of their mouth. They will say that they want this nice guy, this loving guy, this kind guy. But the minute another storm moves into the room, they are looking at that other storm, storming of the man. They will look at that, and then she spends 5 minutes talking to him. She can go to her significant other and tell her how nice this guy is. Now, tell me if that's not brainless. Tell me if that's not brainless. Jess, let's see if you're still there. Let's bring you in. Jess, are you still there? Jess? Okay, maybe she's not. Let's go to 917-399.
Hi, Dr. Walker.
How you doing? Who do we have on the air with us? And welcome.
You have Angela on the phone.
Angela, thank you for joining us. Angela, tonight we're talking about, this is part two, why do some women always appear to be mad in their relationships? You know, I mean, here it is. The men are treating them nice, but they still can be taken for granted, and they're still mad.
I kind of think it's just promoting laziness on a woman's part when a man is too nice. I don't want a man to be too nice to me either. I've been married for 22 years. To me, it seems like he's overdoing it. He doesn't have to do all of that. I don't need him to cook every day for me, but I would like for him to cook at least once or twice a week. So
okay.
I think it's going a little overboard. And vice versa for women who are doing it constantly, because I kind of feel like because I cook a lot for my husband, you get burned out after doing it for so long. I found myself in situations sometimes where I was just tired of being around my husband, I love him to death. I'm in love with him, but I don't want to be doing the same thing over and over, especially for 22 years. There's been plenty of times where I couldn't even tell him why I didn't want to be around him. You know, it was like basically I was tired of him. So, I mean, you could say you love somebody, but you can get tired of them too.
Okay. All right. I mean, at least that's honest. You can get tired of them. Let's bring Ms. Blake in. Ms. Blake, I mean, that's odd when you, you're married 22 years, 23 years, and you're tired of the person. What brings that on, in your opinion, Ms. Blake? And I know it can vary.
I said it again, Dr. Walker. I'm sorry.
What can bring that on? You know, I know it varies when people get tired of each other in the relationship. You know, Angela thinks he's still in love with her husband.
Well, I think it's just getting used to routine and not keeping it spicy. I mean, people start taking each other for granted sometimes over the years.
Yeah, you see, that becomes the big problem. People start to take each other for granted over the years in the relationship, and that is a problem. That is a problem. Jay, let's go back to you just for a second and ask this question. I mean, if you were Walter in this situation, Walter calls himself doing everything that he possibly could. He's doing everything that he possibly can do, and he's still having to ask these questions. And he gets a long face, and part of the question is, what did I do now? What was it that I didn't do? What did I say, or what was it that I didn't say?
Well, Dr. Walker, I really think that after going through counseling and if things haven't improved at that point, I think Walter needs to find another person because maybe she's not the one for him. But I'd really like to go back to something that Angela said. She said, you know, after 22, 23 years of marriage, sometimes she doesn't want to be around her husband. And, I mean, that's understandable. You've been there together for a very long time. But what I'd like to ask is, could you use a sub?
Yes. Yes, I can use a sub.
Okay.
Well, I'm serious because, hey, you know, it's the same old, and maybe that man, you need a partner. You can tag another, hey, it's your turn, and then she can go handle, you know, his needs for that time period that you're tired. So maybe we need to look at a marriage system or a system where, you know, it's more hands on deck to help everybody out. That's just the question. It's not my personal belief, just the question, and I'm putting it out there.
Right, of course. And I tend to agree with you. But, Ms. Blake, let's go ahead and give you a chance to respond to that. Ms. Blake. All right, let's go on. Let's go to Angela. Angela, let's go with you.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear us? Go ahead.
Yes, I hear you guys. Actually, I'm glad I was laughing and I was responding, but I don't think you guys heard me. I said,
no,
yes,
didn't.
I do need a sub. And it's funny that he said that. I have brought this up in the conversation with my husband, and we've talked about being swingers to being able to have someone else on the side and all the other different things, but it was a conversation that we thought was real funny, and we had it. We never did anything about it. Actually, it brought us closer to each other just discussing it. And,
right.
You know, people are out here doing it. Let's just put it out there. You still have people
right.
Sneaking around with other people. So, yeah, I need a sub. He's going to kill me when he hears this show.
Okay. Now, the other thing about that sub, Jay, I want to throw this in, that sub part can be a very dangerous part because I'll tell you why, from my perspective. I'm sorry, Jay. The reason why I think it can be a very dangerous thing is because that sub part, somebody's going to get hurt, and it can be a physical situation where not everybody's willing to genuinely play. They may have said that they want to play initially, but at some point, then what they're going to realize is that they don't really want to play. You know, they thought they wanted to play at the beginning, but then they changed their mind. And then when they see the violation or they feel that violation is no longer the same, that creates a bigger problem. Go ahead, Jay. Let's give you your thoughts, and we're going to take some of the comments that have come into the studio.
You know, I'm not saying that this is something that's going to come to fruition, but who thought, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago that we were going to have, you know, same-sex marriage approved? But to me, I feel that having a team approach to your home, a team approach to your family, you know, hey, there's no I in team. We're all in this together. We're helping one another. Mm-hmm. We're helping one another.
Okay. All right. That's an interesting perspective. Ms. Blake, are you back with us? Okay, Ms. Blake, whenever, if you can hear us, chime in. Your phone may be on mute.
Yes, I'm here, Dr. Walker.
Okay. Ms. Blake, did you want to make a comment?
I'm just going to keep listening for right now.
Okay.
All
right,
that's
fine.
Okay.
Let me. All right, we're going to take a comment, and then we'll throw some of the comments out to various ones of you all. This female writes in, she says, why do some women always appear to be mad in their relationships? Well, I can tell you honestly why I seem to always be mad, according to my husband. He gets on my nerves most of the time, especially when he claims to not have a clue as to what he has done to cause it.
Mm-hmm.
Are men really that naive that they really don't know when they really don't know when they have made us mad? Angela, do you think men are that naive when they don't know when they've made the woman mad?
Yes, I agree exactly with what she's saying, because they play dumb and illiterate to what they did, and most of them know what they did, and they just don't want to admit to it. A lot of times when I talk to my husband about things, he say the reason why he don't say anything is because he knows it's going to flare up to an argument. And my thing is, it flares up into an argument because you're not talking about it.
Okay, all right. But if you think about it, it may be that he doesn't have a clue, because just as in Walter's case, he's asking those four things. Okay, what did I do now? What didn't I do? Here are those long faces from the women from time to time. They're still angry about something, even when the man genuinely doesn't have a clue. Let's take a look at the next comment, and we're going to send that one off to Ms. Blake. We'll give you the next comment. This female writes in, she says, I have pondered the same question for years. Because, she says, I pondered it for years because I watched my parents and their relationship, and my father would often accuse my mother of always being mad, and they eventually divorced. Now into my late 20s, I find myself having a similar attitude like that of my mother, so I've been told. What advice can you give that I can possibly change this attitude before it gets worse? And Ms. Blake, she wants to change her attitude, which is a good thing. What can you tell her before it gets worse?
Well, I say, first of all, it's really great. I applaud her for wanting to change. And just, think of the person that you're with, why you fell in love with him in the first place. And, stop sweating all the small stuff. Because most of the time when women get upset, unless they're PMSing or something, it's just over silly small stuff. Communicate with him. Tell him what turns you on and makes you happy. And find out, most importantly, what turns him on and makes him happy. And just try to keep that as your number one factor.
All right, I think that's important. But then there's fluctuations and flexibility within that as well. Here's this male. He writes in, I think women are usually mad because they simply learn it from their mothers. I have three older sisters, and boy, they are trouble in their relationships. It seems they always want to blame the men for everything that goes wrong when part of the problem is actually them. Well, I'll take this one here, and Jay will give you the next one. It's I think that there's a lot of validity with that, because women fail to realize their flaws and their mistakes and so forth and so on. And I think that it becomes vitally important that we take a look at these things and we think about these things as they relate to relationships, okay? And so that's what we've got to look at. So I think that there's some validity to this, and we're going to try to get back to Jess in just a second. I think that there's some validity to what he's saying, because they can learn it from their mothers, because sometimes mothers will tell their daughters, don't let this man do this to you, don't let that man do that to you, and so forth and so on. And sometimes it becomes crossed as the wrong message instead of giving them some strong things to think about, but being at the same time telling them how to be loving, nurturing, and so forth and so on without having to be taken for granted. Gee, okay. Let's bring you in. Did you want to add something to that? And then Angela will ask you as well. Jay?
Jay,
all right,
dear,
we're going to have
I think you're absolutely right. I think that, that children learn by seeing, and, they see their parents. Their attitude, they pick up those habits and beliefs of the parents. And some of it is just genetic makeup, too. Was that mother always angry when she was pregnant? I think that does have some some degree of how or influence on the child, how that mother carried that child. But that's my own personal belief, nothing scientific to it.
Right, right. I understand that. And you know, it is so important because, and, you know, all of us, just take a look. Tonight we're talking about why do some women always appear to be mad in their relationships. This is part two. Look at some of the women out there as you all go about your day-to-day task. And, I mean, it's not just the women, but men too. But tonight's show is about the women. You know, they will be mad. They're just mad. And a lot of women know other women that are just mad for seemingly no reason. The slightest thing ticks them off. God did not make you all like that. And I, you know, and we've had people on the show before that in part one, and I recall them saying, well, the women go through the menstrual cycles, and Dr. Walker, you wouldn't know because you don't go through a menstrual cycle every month. But God did not, I refuse to believe the God that created us made women where they're always mad about something. That's not, a woman is a nurturer. She has love and so forth. She was not designed to be someone that's always mad because that could set the tone for the house, and that can actually provoke the man to be upset as well. In our story tonight, Walter is tired of asking his wife, what's wrong now? He's tired of asking those questions. And I would tell Walter, if it's been 3 years, which it has, find you another wife that will bring love to your life, enjoyment and excitement. And if it's the other way around, do the same thing. Don't go past 3 years, guys. Don't, men or women, because it will turn, if you're not getting the help, it's going to turn into 9-10 years. All right, I'm sorry. Let me go on. Ms. Blake, you want to come in for a second, or should we keep going with the comments?
Keep going, Dr. Walker. Sounds good.
All right, we got about 8 minutes left. Jay, let's give you this comment here. This male writes in. He says, unfortunately, my experience is that women seldom see their flaws, and are women enough to admit when they have made a mistake and apologize for it. So, Jay, I mean, do you think there's any validity behind that? He said women seldom see their flaws. I agree. Women will seldomly see their flaws and are women enough to admit to it, but they will find another excuse to make it that the man caused this problem. But, Jay, don't be influenced by me. Go ahead.
Well, Dr. Walker, I don't want to generalize from my personal experience, but I will say that people – find it very difficult to stand outside of themselves to see the true nature of their character, to see the true nature of their habits and what's causing sometimes discord in the house. So I think people in general, both males and females, it's hard for them to stand outside and recognize. But I'm going to speak from my experience here in my relationships. Yes. I will find that a woman or women that I have dated in the past will be dead wrong and continue down that path. And it won't be until a few days later after the smoke is cleared and they've calmed down that sometimes they'll come back and say, you know what, you had a point. Or they may not say it at all and just assume that it's all blown over. Oh, we've forgotten about that. But don't let the man be the one to mess up. Oh, you're going to hear about that.
Jay, that's my point. That's my point. And the guy here, he wasn't saying that all women. He said that women seldom, you know, and women seldom see their flaws. So I would say that he's, you know, and maybe it's a general speech, and I know you're not trying to generalize or stereotype, but they will not come back. And just as you're saying in your own experience, they're not going to come back. You know, they'll think that the smoke is clear and that everything is okay. This is not how life is for relationships to be successful. If the women have made a mistake out there, the man has called them out on that, and it's something within reason, I think the woman needs to be a bigger person, the bigger woman, and say, you know what, I was wrong. I really was wrong. But if you don't feel that you were, don't just appease the man, because he knows, too, that you're just doing that. All right, Ms. Blake, we're going to give you this next comment. We've got some other calls. We may not be able to get to everybody tonight, but let me just go ahead, Ms. Blake, with this other one. This male, let's see here, this female writes in. She says, I think it is true, and I wish I had the answer because, like so many other women, I don't want to lose out on my marriage because of this serious issue. She says, I'm willing to take any advice out there that could help ward off such behaviors. she feels that it's true that women are seem to be mad most of the time in their relationship. Ms. Blake, what do you say to her? She'll take any advice to ward this off.
Well, I just say, again, just treat the man the way you would wish to be treated in terms of, you know, care about his happiness and communicate. I still feel that, you know, I do disagree with a lot of statements being said tonight. Women don't, the women I know, including myself, we admit when we're wrong. You know, we do. So I'm not sure of these immature women who just haven't gotten to that level of maturity.
But let me ask you this, Ms. Blake. You say that you will admit to being wrong in the women that you know. Let me just ask, not necessarily you, but some of the women that you know, does it take them days to come around to admit to being wrong? And that was what I thought the case was, because you don't, you know, you're out with them when it's good times. But the men who are living with them, and let me just ask you this, are some of the women that you know happily married or that are like this, or a number of them are basically by themselves?
It's a mixture, but, you know, honestly, I don't know too many women who, this sounds crazy, who are truly happily married.
That's the point. That is exactly the point of what I'm saying. I don't know too many women. We'll come right in with you in just a second. I don't know too many men that are happily married. And that's why I'm telling you, 3 years has got to be a point where if you're still praying for changes and they're not coming, then you know what? They're not going to come, because it takes both parties to want those changes. And people spend wasteless time in relationships hoping and praying for a change to come when it ain't going to happen, excuse my bad language, unless both parties want that, because God will not impose his will on any person. Okay, Jay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, for those women that are unhappily married, could they use a sub, somebody just to come in and help the situation? Could you use a sub? That's all I'm going to worry about right now.
Okay, Jay, you probably don't want to inherit the problems that one man has walked out on, you know, because you just don't want that. But go ahead, Ms. Blake. Let's bring you in here.
Well, first of all, you know, I keep saying it goes both ways, because there are men who are problematic as well. But
I think Ms. Blake needs a nap.
Do I? But seriously speaking, it goes back to my book. People have to be happy within themselves. And the problem is we are looking outside of ourselves for happiness, and you will never find it outside of yourself. So you bring an unhappy self into a relationship, you're going to have an unhappy marriage.
Well, I agree with that, Ms. Blake. But the problem is we are social beings. We're social beings. It was meant for us to be with companionship, to procreate. And so while even though we read the self-help books, countless numbers of them, we're trying to bring happiness within, a lot of that develops into selfishness. Selfishness. I'm going to get mine. I'm going to be happy even if he's not, you know, or even if she's not, and we're going to live with those people. Then how can happiness come in that home? How can happiness possibly come in that home? Let me just concentrate on my happiness. We're going to run about 5 minutes over the show tonight, you all, because we're gonna bring this series to a close. Jay, go ahead. How can happiness come into that home if the man or the woman is just looking out for themselves with their internal happiness, so to speak?
Well, I think Ms. Blake is right in the point that, you know, you have to be happy within yourself. Now, if two happy people were coming together, I think the odds of the relationship working out are greater. But if one of those people aren't happy, you're more likely to bring that person, the other person, down than that person bringing your happiness up. So you need to be happy first.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And Dr. Walker, what I was referring to is not selfishness, because this is the thing. There's some fallacy out there that having great self-esteem is selfishness, and that's not. I know that's not what you meant, but I'm saying I'm just debunking that myth. But it's what Jay was talking about. You know, if you're content within yourself, then you're more likely to want to fulfill and meet the needs of your partner.
Right, right, right. All right, let's just, on 5 seconds or less on each, well, 10 seconds or less on these next few comments, we're going to try to end with, we'll take 4 more comments quickly here. The male writes in, he says, no matter what happens in life, a woman will always blame the man, even if there is no man in her life. For whatever reason, she was unhappy within herself. Ms. Blake, how true is that? I mean, from a woman's perspective, she's going to always blame somebody, it seems.
Well, I agree with the set with your comment, always blaming somebody. It may not be a man. You know, they blame the parents, they blame the environment, because those are people who don't want to take responsibility for their own shortcomings.
Okay. All right, I'll take the next one. Jay, we'll give you the other one. This male writes in, and he says, I figure if I didn't cause a woman to be mad or angry, then that's her problem, because if I try to help her, she is going to turn it around on me. So no thanks. Jay, let's give you that one. What do you think? Is there any truth to that? If you try to help her out?
Well, I think you do, because you want your partner to be happy, and I think you need to give every effort. But if nothing's turning around, then that is her issue. So.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. Very good. I couldn't say it any better. I'll take this one then. The female writes in. She says, I recognize that a number of women seem to always be mad or angry. I work with a lot of them. I chose not to be one of those women, so perhaps it is a decision. And you know what? I think that's what it has to be. I think it has to be that a woman makes up her mind that I'm not going to be one of these women that are always seeming to be mad or angry in my relationship. Maybe you need to transition in your mind and say, or program in your mind and say, I'm going to show my man that I'm crazy about him. That, you know, we go through something, but we're going to sit down and find a way, a strategy to talk it out until we get it right. And then if he's not willing to go through that, then maybe I need to reevaluate and move on to somebody else that can, that's willing to, both parties being happy. All right, Ms. Blake, we're going to give you the final one. Now, let's bring Angie in. Angie, let's get your thought on that, what the woman says. I recognize that a number of women seem to always be mad or angry. I work with a lot of them. I choose not to be one of those women, so perhaps it's a decision. Do you think it can be a decision, and that decision can be to choose to not be one of those women?
Yes, I think so. I would say that I found myself being angry a lot, you know, and a lot of times my husband tried to work it through with me or try to figure out what the problem is, but then I find myself telling him, let me try to work it out myself. So I recognize the problem. I know there's an issue, but it's something that I feel as though I have to do it on my own, and it has nothing to do with him, and I don't want him involved, even though he offers his help.
Okay. So sometimes you don't want to help because men feel
exactly.
Like we're rescuers. Okay. All right. So you want to work it out within yourself. But in the meantime,
exactly.
Is it fair for him to feel like he's suffering because his wife's got this long face? Is it fair to him? And it might take you days sometimes to work it out. Huh?
If it's about him, that's different. If it's a different situation that doesn't pertain to him, normally I try not to focus too much time on it. The older I've gotten, the more I've learned to just, I can't change everybody. And he always say that. You can't make people do what you want them to do. And that was very difficult for me to deal with in the beginning. Now I'm learning that. So now a lot of time I find myself, you know what, that's not my problem. I'm not even going to get in the middle of it, or I'm not going to deal with it. Now, I still sometimes get into things that don't pertain to me, but then
right.
He'll reinforce and say, babe, that has nothing to do with you. Don't let it affect you. And then it just goes away.
Okay.
And look, he's
right,
in the background saying, yeah, okay.
Jay, did you want to add anything? Because we're going to give Ms. Blake the last comment.
Well, just real quickly, at those moments that Angie did not wanted to work out those issues with herself, by herself, and the husband wanted to help and she didn't want to be bothered with him, I just want to know, did you need a sub?
You're the sub.
Wow.
I think we all need
you know,
a sub at some point.
You know, but the only thing about a sub, okay, again, I say a sub is only temporary, and a sub is not the real deal. It's not the real deal. And sometimes it can make matters worse. And let's categorize and put it in a classroom setting. A substitute teacher, they come in and teacher left their outline or lesson plans for what the sub is to do. Let's just take it and put this analogy in there. And then the self comes in and realizes she got a class, he or she has a class that they can't even handle. And all of a sudden now they're saying, you know what, let me just make it through the day. Let me get these kids, let them do what they want to do. And then the next day when the genuine teacher returns, they realize it's chaotic because the sub did not follow the plan. So, see, with the sub, you don't have to have the rules. You just have to go with the flow. This can make it work. This can make it work. Miss Lake, we'll give you the last words with the final comment. This female says, I think you can only stay mad or angry if you choose to give someone else your power to allow them to cause you to feel this way. What do you think about that?
That's absolutely true. And, again, I just like to leave on this note. Just people, don't stop sweating the small stuff. And, you know, just choose to be happy. Life is short.
Okay. On that note, we are clearly out of time. We apologize to those of you all that we couldn't get back to, or some of those that were trying to get in tonight. We were on a roll here. Please join us again this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program, or if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us again next Tuesday live for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We do apologize to the producers for going a little bit over tonight, but tonight we had to conclude this show's topic. So join us this Friday, or if you choose to bypass this Friday, join us again next Tuesday for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I hope you all have enjoyed. To my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.